Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Lauren L. of the High Desert here. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is currently July 26, 2015, 8:30 p.m. The show is brought to you by Grow with Lauren L. That's my personal online marketing services as well as virtual assistant service. You can go to growwithlaurenl.com to learn more about what I do. I assist businesses of all sizes, various industries, and Grow with Lauren L. is what helps keep this show going. And I also want to mention that I'm actually offering advertising opportunities and promotion options for local businesses in the area or even outside of the area. The audience that tunes into Lauren L. tends to be interested in health and wellness and environmental and outdoors. And so I offer advertising, and that is a great help to Lauren L. of the High Desert. If you're interested to know more, then go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com, or you can email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. I'm kicking off the show with a piece of history coming from a book published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society, as well as the 29 Palms Historical Society. And I've been going through this book for months now, and I'm not even chipping into the book at all. I'm just within probably 20 pages of the book. There's a lot of information in this booklet. It's the Morongo Basin 100-Year Project, 1910 through 2010. You can pick it up at the old schoolhouse in 29 Palms. It's only $5. And it's a great booklet of historical information about the Morongo Basin and just little tidbits of information. So this article is coming from the year 1932, and the title is Scouting is Established in the Basin. And here's what the article reads. In 1932, Jack Cones organized a Boy Scout troop sponsored by the 29 Palms American Legion. They applied to Boy Scouts of America and became Troop 73. In the early 1930s, Cones was elected deputy sheriff and patrolled a 2,800-square-mile jurisdiction using his Piper J-3 Cub airplane, becoming known as the Flying Constable. He was liked and respected, Troop 73's first scout master. Bill Hatch and Lem Parsons, an Eagle Scout, both became assistant scoutmasters. In 1933, a special road meeting was held in 29 Palms to discuss the deplorable condition of the 29 Palms Highway from U.S. 99 to Morongo Valley. Boy Scout Troop 73, along with Troop 75 of Yucca Valley, volunteered for a campout and road check responsibilities. To pay for this outing and project, a series of Saturday night dances and fundraising socials were held across the Morongo Basin. At the start of Easter vacation, they made camp at the entrance to Dry Morongo Canyon and set to work counting cars for 10 days. As a result of their excellent work, they agreed to grant money for road repairs. A lot can be done when people come together, even young boys coming together in the Boy Scouts. Good to know. Here are some local events coming up in the Morongo Basin and nearby areas. There will be community input events taking place over the next month, and this will be about the long-term educational master plan. Should be really interesting. Here is what the press release said about the event. Copper Mountain College is asking for input from the community members to help develop their long-term education master plan. Copper Mountain College is inviting anyone in the community to help assess how they are doing, what they can do better, and how they can better serve the community and local businesses. Copper Mountain College invites you to join them for one of their community forums for light refreshments, discussion, and dialogue at the following locations. If you are unable to attend one of the forums, Copper Mountain College would still like to hear from you. To take a quick survey, you can go to the college's website at cmccd.edu and click on the link, or you can use the direct link. For more information, you can contact Copper Mountain College at 760-366-3791. And there will, again, be a series of events taking place. First one is July 29th. That will be taking place at the MCAGCC Education Center, which is on the base in 29 Palms, and it will be starting at 6 p.m. Base access pass is required. On August 4th, there will be a meeting in Yucca Valley at the Yucca Valley Community Center. August 5th, there will be a meeting in Landers at Landers Elementary School. August 12th will be Morongo Valley Elementary School. August 19th, Joshua Tree Recreation Center. August 25th, City of 29 Palms, City Council Room. If you would like to know these dates and locations, you can go to my website, laurenlofbahaidesert.com, go to events, and you will find this listing on my calendar. This should be interesting. I personally have always had a great interest in education and what is being taught in the system. So this is actually the first time I've heard of a community input meeting about developing a master plan for education. Good to know. On July 31st, starting at 8 p.m., there will be a Transition Joshua Tree Heart and Soul meeting, and this will be happening at the Yucca Mesa Community Center. There will be a chant, and it will be led by special guest Karen Soriano. On the same night, which again is July 31st, there will be a gathering at the Joshua Tree Chamber of Commerce location in Joshua Tree, and it's a tiki party, and you are encouraged to wear tiki-related clothing, but this is exclusive to chamber members. If you are not a member of the chamber, then you are invited to become a member. And that will be starting, I don't have the exact time for that, but if you would like to know, you can message me through Facebook, Lauren L. of the High Desert. On August 5th, this is a big meeting. I know many of you are interested in this. Joshua Tree National Park takeover of Eagle Mountain meeting will be taking place at the Joshua Tree Community Center starting at 6 p.m. That is a Wednesday. And this will be a really important meeting. Eagle Mountain gets a lot of attention. And so if it's added to Joshua Tree National Park, then it will no longer be an area of such critical development. There will be a Yucca Mesa Improvement Association Community Garden meeting happening on August 6th, starting at 6 p.m., goes to 8 p.m. There is a requested donation of $5. There will be a potluck, seed, plant, and produce swap. Should be a lot of fun. I know there's been a lot of talk about the community garden at the Yucca Mesa there, which started earlier this year, and they've been having a lot of success and a lot of fun bringing people together. Got some exciting news today that the Old Schoolhouse Lecture Series has been released for this coming season, starting in fall, going into spring. And so there are dates and as well as subject matter listed. The Old Schoolhouse Lecture Series takes place at the Old Schoolhouse in 29 Palms, and it is hosted by the Desert Institute. You can pay $5 per each lecture, or you can pay $40 if you plan to attend every lecture. So that's a better deal. If you would like more information, you can call 760-367-5535. And there are also dinner reservations, believe it or not. And I did go to one of the dinners before one of the lectures. I went to a lecture about the geology of Joshua Tree National Park. And I love geology. I went to school for a couple years for geology, so I decided I would like to go to the dinner before the lecture so that I could speak with the speaker. And it was just a lot of fun at the 29 Palms Inn, a lot of fun to meet and greet the speaker and have dinner. So that's something that is really nice that happens with the Old Schoolhouse Lecture Series. That's all I have for events coming up in the near future. But believe me, there are many more events happening. I added a lot of events. Actually, there's a lot of events happening at the Yucca Mesa Community Center. That's becoming a big destination for meetings. So please go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com, and you can go to the events section. And again, there's many gatherings being hosted at the Yucca Mesa Improvement Association, by the Yucca Mesa Improvement Association, as well as Transition Joshua Tree and Flowbox, located in the Lower Desert, which is a performance art group. So just go to the calendar and stay up to date. Make sure you know what's happening, because it always sucks to make plans and then find out something cooler is happening. That happens to me pretty often. Oh, I also forgot to mention that I personally am hosting an event, and this event, I generally call it Enlightened Together. It's taking place August 11th at 6 p.m. at the Beatnik Lounge. Enlightened Together, really quick, I'll just say Enlightened Together is a project that I started in 2012, specifically when I dropped out of university, and I wanted to continue learning. I love learning, and I love interacting with people and learning what other people know. And so I started a group called Enlightened Together, which was an online-based group, and it was actually a broadcast that I did with people all over the world. I wanted to bring people together so that we can talk about all kinds of subjects, such as water, resource management, oil, transportation, health, religion, all kinds of topics. And the show was somewhat successful, not as successful as I wanted it to be. I really wanted to bring it so that there was face-to-face conversation. And at the time when all this was happening, I was living near Hemet, about an hour west of here, but I didn't really receive positive response from the community. So now that I'm in this area, I'm attempting it again. And so far, people have showed interest in it. It's generally a gathering to come together and share information about innovative projects happening all over the world. Again, relating to critical topics. It can be social issues. It can be health, technology, whatever it is. And this will just be a simple, casual group to discuss and share information. No arguing. I encourage people to please cite the information that they bring to the gathering. I prefer it to not be, quote unquote, a conspiracy group of pointing fingers at the government, but more so an educating group that enjoys teaching one another. So again, this will be August 11th at 6 p.m. at the Beatnik Lounge, and I encourage you to attend. Just to go over some recent information of events that I went to a presentation that was hosted at the Beatnik Lounge on July 21st. There was a holistic doctor who spoke. His name was Richard Boris. He has a medical background in dentistry or dental work for over 25 years. And I do not know the specific name of the gathering that took place. It's every third Tuesday at the Beatnik Lounge. There is discussion about essential oils and health-related topics. So this particular gathering on the third Tuesday was special because a presentation was given by a holistic doctor with a noted background. And this was the first presentation I've been to by a holistic doctor out here. Brief over it really quickly. Again, Richard Gores, he gave a presentation about the human diet, and he basically explained how tooth decay occurs because of malnutrition and because of poor diet. So his presentation was primarily about diet as well as the human body and anatomy and what the human gut is really made to handle in terms of food consumption. So he mentioned how the humans, at least Americans, consume quite a bit of red meat. It's normal for many Americans to eat red meat frequently. And he went into detail about the human anatomy and the human gut and how really it doesn't show any sort of support for eating red meat at the rate that Americans do. So personally, coming from my personal standpoint, it was an interesting presentation. I was glad I went. It opened my mind to various topics. And I do not want to say that I'm completely supporting Richard Gores. I'm just mentioning the holistic field and human diet. I know that holistic doctors are definitely an area of debate the medical industry in itself is a huge area for debate. I shared the article that I wrote about this. I actually wrote an article about this. If you go to laurenallofthehighdusters.com, you can read more of the detail from the presentation that he gave. But I posted this article on a local-oriented Facebook group, and of course I received quite a bit of comments and response of conflict about the holistic field, which I expected, and it's an interesting area of discussion. Since I've launched Lauren L. of the High Desert, I have learned that there are two communities right now that have kind of a feisty side to them, I would say, and that is the off-roading community. They are pretty stringent about their rights and what they're able to do. But also the community response to the holistic field, that is also a pretty big area for debate. So I always love debate and hearing different sides of the story. So the holistic field is pretty interesting to me. So yes, this presentation given by this holistic doctor at the Beatnik Lounge was really interesting. And I plan on sharing more information about the events hosted by this group at the Beatnik Lounge every third Tuesday. On Friday, July 24th, I attended a party hosted by Flowbox. I'm going to be supporting Flowbox and mentioning Flowbox quite a bit as this broadcast continues because I love everything that they do. And this is my broadcast, so I do dictate quite a bit what I put out there. But Flowbox is a performance art group that's based in the Coachella Valley right now. They do all kinds of performance, fire performance, aerial performance, circus-related acting, and flow performance, such as poi, staff. Some of you may have seen them at the Joshua Tree Music Festival. They have them stilt walking there in various performances. Very entertaining group. So Flowbox is actually really active. They're becoming much more active in the community now that they have a location where they're centrally located. And they will be featured on Eye of the Desert on Monday, tomorrow. I do not know the exact time, but they are getting out there more. I submitted press releases to various publications in the area, so they're getting a lot of press, and I'm very excited for them. But they regularly host all kinds of events and all kinds of lessons. If you would like to learn aerial performance, they host lessons on that. They recently hosted a hoop performance for hooping, which is another form of performance art. But they also do general parties. And they open their location so that people can come and just hang out and chill and practice whatever they choose to practice. So I went there on Friday. It was my first time going to one of their casual gatherings, and it was really nice to meet all the different performers. Everyone there is so welcoming, and I have spoken with Jen, who is kind of the head of the group, and she likes the Burning Man mentality a lot of giving and sharing and everyone collaborating together. So I really support that, and it was ultimately a fun gathering. I'm going to go over some news really quick. I always like to skim over the High Desert Star as well as Z107.7 to learn a little bit about what's happening in the area and then just reread some of the information to you that I feel relates to Lauren L. of the High Desert. So here's something interesting. In regards to earlier, I had mentioned that there will be a series of community input events hosted by Copper Mountain College Master Education Plan. So I came across this article in the High Desert Star that was published on July 17th, and the title was Exit Exam on Way Out. And so this is referring to the high school exit exam. Some of you may or may not be aware of the high school exit exam. I personally am aware of it because it was put into place the year that I graduated, which was 2006, and it was a test that students had to take at the end of their senior year, and they had to pass it in order to graduate from high school. So I just collected some short pieces from the article and want to read it to you. Here's what the article says. Since 2006, students have been required to pass the California High School Exit Exam in order to graduate. However, following an abrupt cancellation of the test that was to be administered this month, the graduation status of thousands of California students, including some in the Morongo Basin, is in question. The California High School Exit Exam is a two-part test that measures the student's abilities in English, language, art, and mathematics to ensure that individuals who graduate from public high schools can demonstrate grade-level competency in these subjects. The test is first administered to students in the 10th grade, and if they do not pass it, then they get several opportunities to retake it before graduation rolls around. The cancellation of the July testing date was not entirely unexpected, as the contract with the administrators of the exam recently expired. Aside from the contract expiration, the suspension of the current exam stems from the change in curriculum to Common Core standards. I found this to be interesting because, again, this went into place when I graduated almost 10 years ago, and I thought it was somewhat funny that the test is being canceled because of an expiration date, because when it was put in place, it was this huge deal, and so I don't know what the future of that high school exit exam is. That may be of interest to some of you. I know people have, of all ages, have interest in the education system. It's a very fascinating subject. Here's an article published by the High Desert Star, July 17, 2015, and the title is Lecture on Pest Plaguing Park with Paint. Jason Thurr, Cultural Resource Branch Chief for the National Park Service, spoke at the Brown Bag Lecture Series on Vandalism in the Joshua Tree National Park Thursday. Thurr, who holds a PhD, gave the audience a recap of the different types of vandalism and graffiti committed in the park over the last 10 years and the things we fix. Each of the different types of vandalism requires a different approach to repair. Restoration for paint is different than charcoal or scratching. He went on to explain the difference between vandalism that may have historic significance and incidents that are just plain graffiti. There is a general 50-year rule, Thurr said. If something was done 50 or more years ago, we have to determine if it is of historic significance. For a work of graffiti to have significance, it must meet one of the four criteria. It must be associated with an important event or person, embody a distinctive style or method, or yield important information. Thurr gave a recap of the Park Service's restoration efforts, focusing on Barker Dam, Ryan Ranch, Rattlesnake Canyon, and various rock art locations. I wasn't aware of the 50-year rule. That's really interesting, because I know that there is question about graffiti in terms of its artistic meaning. So I guess even graffiti from over 50 years ago could potentially be considered historical. Finally, I came across an article that relates to the Eagle Mountain meeting that I had mentioned earlier that's taking place on. The article is coming from Z1077, and it was published on July 23rd, 2015. The title is How to Comment on Study to Bring Eagle Mountain into Joshua Tree National Park. And here's what it reads. The Eagle Mountain area, which is bordered by Joshua Tree National Park on the north, south, and west, has survived an attempt to turn it into a landfill, only to face a new proposal to convert it to a hydroelectric power plant. The area is an important migration route for bighorn sheep and contains prehistoric and historic artifacts. Managing editor Tammy Roloff says the National Park Service is considering adding these lands back to Joshua Tree National Park and explains how the public can weigh in on the proposal. The National Park Service is conducting a study to explore whether the Eagle Mountain area should be added back to the boundary of Joshua Tree National Park. An online meeting at which Park Service officials will explain the study process, answer questions, and receive public input will be held 1:30 to 3 p.m. on July 29th. A meeting will also be held 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, August 5th at the Joshua Tree Community Center. Information on how to participate in the online meeting and how to submit comments can be found with this story at Z1077FM.com. Contact David Smith, Superintendent Joshua Tree National Park. His phone number is 760 367-5500. Email the study team at Joshua or jotrstudy@nps.gov. View the project website. And there's also introductory newsletter, maps, and more information available. That's all I have for today's show. If you'd like to know more about this, I'll be posting it on Facebook. Thank you so much for tuning in. If there's something that I missed, something that you think I should cover, then please let me know. Email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com or go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com. And I can always post information on my Facebook page or put up a blog article on the website. I enjoy hearing from you. I get a lot of my information from newsletters, to be honest. So if you would like to send me information, then feel free to do so. I hope you have a wonderful week and tune in next week as well. Take care.